Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have an author who's a friend of ours, Bruce Short, who wrote a book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. And he has been in an effort to try to influence the Southern Baptist Convention to develop an exit strategy to remove their kids from the government schools. And we're thrilled to have Bruce Short on the program right now. Bruce, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
It's great to be with you again, Bob.
So, Bruce, can you bring us, our audience, every week, every month, we have new listeners who probably don't know about your efforts so far in the Southern Baptist Convention. Could you bring us up to date about what you've been doing there?
Well, you know, actually, that effort is part of our larger Exodus mandate effort to bring Christian pastors and parents to an awareness of the fact that we really have an obligation to provide our children with a Christian education, not a Sunday school education of an hour or maybe 2 hours a week, but a full Christian education, rather than giving our children to an aggressively anti-Christian institution, the public schools, to disciple in the worldview of the public schools, which, as I think almost everybody who's familiar with the public schools has to recognize, is not a Christian worldview. So,
yeah, and on that point, Bruce, they are officially godless. That's the official stance of our public school system. Their curriculum is that it's godless, but in reality, you can't have that kind of a vacuum. So when they create their curricula, it's not just absent of Christian morals. It is hostile to the Christian worldview.
Exactly. I think one of the fundamental things that parents need to understand is that all education is religious. That is, it teaches some worldview or other.
Right.
And unfortunately, the public schools are full of religion. It's just not Christianity. And to the point about it being godless, many parents try to pretend that their school districts are different. But the fact of the matter is the Supreme Court for the last 60 years has imposed, in essence, the elimination of Christian principles, symbols, and other things from the public schools. And into that vacuum, which you correctly described, has flowed secular humanism, New Age spirituality. Now we're seeing more and more Muslim and other activity within the public schools. And unfortunately, the vaunted principle of separation of church and state, which appears nowhere in the Constitution, really reduces to what I call the ABC principle, and that's anything but Christianity.
Anything but Christianity. When we first went on the air back in the summer of 1991, we had a guest who was a Denver area public school teacher, and he was fired because he had a Bible in his school library, but he also had a Quran and he had some Indian, American Indian mystic writings and a couple hundred, few hundred books. And he went to court and he lost, and it came down to this. He could have all those other religious books in his classroom library, but not the Bible. That was the issue.
Well, that's not unusual. In fact, one of our colleagues in Exodus Mandate is a former Missouri school superintendent, and he basically was fired over the fact that he refused to take the Bible out of his office and his Ten Commandments off his wall. And this sort of thing, unfortunately, is the norm. It's not unusual. It's the norm, even in places where people think their schools are different in some, material way.
That's a real danger, and we have heard that from parents the 15 years we've been on the air. Parents will say, yeah, the public schools are so godless, they're so immoral, but not in our district. And it turns out that that is consistently false. That's this false sense of security that somehow my district doesn't have a godless curriculum.
Well, yeah, and their congressman is different. It's all those other guys who are scoundrels, but you know, interestingly, with respect to that point, and this is a point that we've been hammering the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention with and other evangelicals. And in 2006, Roger Moran and I, who had jointly sponsored a resolution urging the convention to develop an exit strategy from the public schools following a suggestion by Al Mohler, who is the president of Southern Theological Seminary in Louisville, we also managed to pass a motion at the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention directing Lifeway, which is...
A research group
and, you know, kind of a book publishing and distribution arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, to research what's happening spiritually with their young people. They were supposed to report back before the annual meeting last June, and they didn't, which was a warning sign that what they had discovered was not something that they wanted to issue and cast a pall over the convention with.
And Bruce, I'm looking right here at some of the highlights from one of your press releases of what they found. And basically, of kids ages 18 to 22 that were regularly attending Protestant churches, about over 66% stopped attending. Of kids, young adults ages 23 to 30, 70% dropped out. And over the ensuing years, a significant percentage of the few who returned did not return for spiritual reasons, but for social pressure reasons.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And of course, you know, the limitations of the study were such that you don't really know how many of the kids you lost before they started measurement at 18. Mm. And we know that we're losing kids before 18. But beyond that, this was just a study to see who is physically present in church. Mm. And unfortunately, being present in church doesn't mean that you're a Christian or that you have a Christian worldview. In fact, we could have 100% staying in the church, and it would be meaningless unless they actually are Christians. So when you look at the survey data gathered by the Barna Research Group...
Yeah, and Barna, George Barna, is noted even among secular researchers as doing an extraordinary job of reliably describing the spiritual condition of Americans. And so you're about to reference some of his research, Barna Research.
Exactly. And you know, what Barna consistently finds is that a very small percentage of evangelical teens, no matter what they profess to be, are actually Christians. You know, fewer than 10% believe that there's any such thing as absolute moral truth. A majority of evangelical teens in these surveys turn up as believing, for example, that Jesus sinned while he was on earth.
So that, now let's just try to process that for a moment. Christianity is fundamentally that God incarnate in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that God the Son became flesh, lived a sinless life for us, and he died not for his own sin, but for our sin, for those who will trust in him, so that we could be forgiven. And so you have a majority of young people professing to be Christian who are attending Protestant Bible churches, Southern Baptist churches. A majority believe that Christ sinned while he was on earth.
Right, and that's all evangelical teens. And
right.
The Lifeway data was all Protestants, not merely just Southern Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and when people, you know, seem to be shocked by this, I say, you know, well, why should you be shocked when you're giving your children over to an aggressively anti-Christian institution to be discipled for 12 years involving, you know, roughly 14,000 hours of seat time, thousands of hours beyond that in terms of homework and working with textbook materials, which are at best secular. And also when you take into account the peer group enculturation that goes on in that context and extracurricular activities, the only thing that would really be shocking is if you were getting results different from these.
Yeah, right.
So, we face a very interesting situation in which our faithlessness in the discipling and training up of our children, which has been aided and abetted by, the leadership of our churches, is effectively producing the liquidation of the church in our generation.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, could I give you a couple examples of how we see ourselves through this ministry, and I pastor Denver Bible Church, and we see the pain and suffering of families who send their kids to public schools, and oftentimes the parents are thinking, well, this child of mine, this is a strong young Christian, and he or she is going to be salt and light in the school. And what happens is so often the school just chews up and spits out that child to where by the time that kid is 18, his or her life is almost ruined already. Of course, we have the tragedy not far from us of the Columbine murders and that devastation and the continued moral breakdown of what passes for acceptable behavior in our public schools. So we see this, and Christian parents convince themselves that they're doing a godly thing by sending their little ones to the public schools, and the reality is that they're abandoning their kids to a godless, ruthless system.
That's true, and I think part of the problem now is that it's a multi-generation problem. In other words, the sorts of things that are going on in schools now, if you had tried them in 1960, would have gotten you a fast trip to prison. There are things going on in the schools now as a part of policy that right. simply would not have been tolerated. But, you know, year by year, decade by decade, standards have been ratcheted down so that the things that are going on now, as bad as they are, may seem, you know, to young parents today, a little over the top, but on the other hand, when they were in school, things were, you know, sort of similar. Maybe not quite so bad, but similar. And, you know, it continues generation by generation, defining deviancy downward, to use Patrick Moynihan's phrase. And so we're losing any sense of, you know, what was once, or what were once considered the norms of an essentially Christian culture that existed, you know, just a couple of generations ago.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned examples. Let me give you one that just comes to mind, and this is just bizarre, but it pops to mind. Christian friends of ours who have supported public education for years, and we have argued that a godless education system is, on the face of it, anti-Christian, unbiblical. Just imagine if the Jews in the Old Testament would willingly put their kids on a Philistine chariot and send their little Jewish boys and girls off to be educated by people who are worshiping Dagon or any of the Canaanite gods or Ashtoreth or Baal. I mean, it's just horrendous to think. And so we have friends that we've had this argument for 20 years here in the Denver area, and now recently the most bizarre practice has appeared, this idea of Christian nudism. I don't know if you've heard of such a thing. A while ago I debated that. And so we have friends who've been advocating the public schools for years, and so now they've told us, well, they don't really see how they can say that that is wrong. They don't know that nudism is wrong for Christians. And that's an example, one absurd example of thousands where people's moral foundation crumbles when they could convince themselves that a godless education for kids is okay, and then you find that influencing their worldview in just untold ways.
Well, unfortunately, Christianity has become compartmentalized, and it's largely because of our government school habit. Because of the absence of God in all things in the public schools, we now have several generations who tend to see Christ as being irrelevant to everything outside of a Sunday worship service.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, when the time comes to make decisions in their daily lives, they have no Christian worldview to fall back on to make correct decisions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the odd thing about parents who refuse to recognize that the schools are officially anti-Christian is that, you know, Christ himself said, you know, he's not with me is against me. Who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Mm. And by law, the government schools are against Christ. You can't, no government school can be for Christ.
Yeah, here in Colorado, we're right now going through the saga of a young girl who's giving her valedictorian speech, and she urges the student she graduated with to trust in Jesus Christ. And the principal of the school told her, and she was worried about going into college, and he said unless she apologized via email, he would withhold her diploma. And so now that's become a lawsuit. But that's an example of the kind of anti-Christian, the intense anti-Christian mindset in our public schools.
Well, it's aided and abetted by the court system. Just recently, a U.S. District Court in Pennsylvania rendered a decision in which a school's decision to ban Bible reading while allowing teachers to suggest to children that they read books about witches and Halloween was upheld. And, the school told the children that, while they could, they wanted them to bring books to read that were of interest to them, they couldn't bring the Bible because it was too proselytizing.
Yeah, and recall the Dover, Pennsylvania case where the federal judge ruled against intelligent design, which is a soft kind of creationism. And in reading that ruling, I recall that the hatred of this federal judge for Christians and creationism just leapt off the pages of his ruling. And I looked to check, where did this judge come from? He was a Republican nominee nominated to the federal bench by George W. Bush not too many years ago. And so we have generations now of conservatives and liberals, forget the liberals for a moment, conservatives and Christians who have come through the public schools, godless education, who their public outlook and their worldview is actually hostile to Christian, even when they consider themselves Christian.
Well, and also, too, I think one of the greatest deceptions is this idea that there is a non-religious point of view. You can dispense with the word religion, because religion essentially is a form of metaphysics. And everybody has metaphysical presuppositions. They all have a worldview. Mm-hmm. And secular humanism is a metaphysics. It's a worldview. It's a religion. It's been described as such by the courts and even by some of the earlier proponents of that point of view. And, of course, you've got, apart from secular humanism, all kinds of New Age things and so on and so forth. But the lie has been that we are, the non-Christians, are neutral, and you folks are sectarian, and therefore we have to keep you out of our schools. Mm. And this is just simply intellectually dishonest. All education is religious. And the sooner, as a matter of fact, David Gelertner, who is a professor of computer science at Yale, wrote a surprising article the first week of June 2007 in the Weekly Standard, in which he had come to this very realization. And I was astonished that the Weekly Standard, which is a very much establishment inside the Beltway kind of publication,
right,
published an article in which the author was saying not only is all education religious, but the public schools themselves, therefore, are institutions of religion, and therefore, how can we justify their existence under the First Amendment?
Mm.
They're an establishment of religion, in fact.
Mm. Well, that's a great point. And we have a friend, Bobinert Live has a banking friend in Michigan, and I got to see him in Montana a couple weeks ago. We were on a dinosaur fossil dig. and a creationist effort. And we talked about the public schools, and he made this point. He said, he asked the question, what is worse, the fact that the public schools are godless or the fact that they are public? He asked that question, and we all, our gut reaction was, well, that they're godless. But he said this, he said, would you support government schools if they were forced to teach that Jesus is God, he's the Savior, and the Bible's the Word of God? Would you support that kind of a school, a government school, doing that? In our group, conservative Christians, we all said no, we wouldn't. Because it's not the job of the government to raise and educate children. Because if the government takes on that task, then parents relinquish that crucial role of parenting. And so he demonstrated to us that the very nature of a public school, a government school, was fundamentally unbiblical. It's immoral to take money by force from your neighbor and use it to educate your kids. The government should not run schools.
Well, again, that school that forces children to attend, you know, by compulsory attendance laws, and which forcibly takes money from all kinds of people, is teaching a worldview. The whole object, really, is to compel people to accept a worldview through the education that's provided. And in fact, that is exactly the origin of this system. Prior to the development of the common school system, as it was initiated by Horace Mann, and systematized afterward, we basically had nothing like the current centralized system of public schools. But the whole project for a centralized public school system was, you know, the covert purpose on the part of Horace Mann, who was a Unitarian, and his Unitarian supporters, was to de facto establish Unitarianism as the religion of the United States. But, of course, they didn't sell that project to the public as they were trying to get the legislation and so on that they needed. Instead, what they were doing was telling Protestant America that we need to establish this public school system. We need to back it with compulsory attendance laws because we have this huge Irish Catholic immigration. And so we need to force those Catholic children into our schools, which are going to be Protestant-type schools, and we're going to de-Catholicize them. And that was the origin of the entire government school system as we know it. And, of course, the Unitarians, ruled that system for a very long time. But by the time of John Dewey's heyday, the secularists had moved in and basically had wrested away control of the system and started promoting their worldview. And then subsequently, and more recently, you find that the cultural Marxists, the Gramscian left, has actually grabbed control of the system.
So that we have today less than 10% of evangelical youth saying that they believe in such a thing as absolute truth, absolute right and wrong. So this is where we're at. We don't have much time left. We're speaking with Bruce Short, who is the author of The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. Bruce, your book, when we announce it on the show and we order it by a case at a time, we go through them. And so I imagine we'll be ordering a case of your books here soon. But the book is tremendous, and many people have got it from us here at Bob and Yurt Live, read it, and taken their own kids or urged their family to take their kids out of the public schools.
Well, you know, as a parent, there's no more important decision that you're going to make than how you're going to educate your children. And I think that, consequently, it ought to be an informed decision. And the purpose of the book is to provide parents with a comprehensive look at the fruit of our government school habit. You know, what is the public school system doing to our children spiritually, morally, and intellectually? And, you know, what is its history? And what are the characteristics of the system now?
Right.
I think that you need that information in order to make an informed decision mm-hmm. about what you're going to do with your children.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Bruce, for coming on the show with us. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we encourage families to homeschool, if at all possible, homeschool. If you have a really good Christian school nearby, here in the Denver area, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada is the best Christian school that I've ever come across in my many years as a Christian and a parent. So, Bruce, thank you so very much again for joining us.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Bob.
You're welcome. That was Bruce Short, author of The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. And if you'd like a copy of that, I think we sell them for, is that $19.99? So you can call us at 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278, or go online. You could get it from our store at KGOV. That's KGOV, like government, KGOV.com. And what a store we have online. Have you looked at it recently? It's just beautiful. And many of our Bible study albums now you could download and start listening to them almost immediately. So you buy it and you could have a ship you the CD and download it. And it's really a pretty neat store. So you might want to check that out. And the banquet coming up, September 22nd. Boy, is this important. On September 21st, the Columbine Memorial will be revealed. And that is a significant story, not only in Colorado, but nationally, because you recall the effort by Jefferson County to tell one of the parents, Brian Orbaugh, the president of Colorado Right to Life, they told him he could not have his words inscribed on the memorial. He'd have to change his words. And he fought that. Brian Orbaugh is a fighter. And he won. And so the media went to him and said, okay, you got the right to put your words on the memorial. What are they? And he told them, in fact, all the parents, all the family's words are private until the unveiling of the memorial. So the media's been waiting. And we've heard from people in other states that never heard of this show, Bob and Yurt Live, but traveling, and they want to know, well, what are those words on that memorial? And so people are waiting to find out, well, that'll be unveiled on Friday, September 21st. Then Saturday night, September 22nd, is the Colorado Right to Life annual banquet. And it's so important that you be there if you at all can. And if you could, sponsor a table. It's just 10 people make up a table. So it's $60 to register for a fabulous dinner and to hear Phil Klein speak. That'll be great. So call us at 800-8-NYART if you'd like a reservation. 800-8-NYART.